Welcome to this introduction to the New Vic Theatre's latest production, Ladies Down Under. I'm Pam Beach and I'll be audio describing the show, along with Brenda Hennessy, on Saturday the 30th of March at 2:15pm. The touch tour will start at 1:15. We'll meet you in the foyer in front of the box office a few minutes beforehand. Each half of the show lasts approximately 1 hour, with a 20-minute interval between. Ladies Down Under is the sequel to Amanda Whittington's play, Ladies Day, which was a huge success at this theatre last year. Marika Audsley returns as director to work with the same team. This time, you're invited to find out what happens next when the four women from the fish factory in Hull, Pearl, Jan, Shelley and Linda, set off for the adventure of a lifetime. After winning the jackpot on their day out at Royal Ascot in 2005 and sharing it between them, they decided to go Down Under in 2007 to visit Australia together. We follow them as they navigate life, love and friendship far away from home. In case you haven't visited this theatre before, I'll now tell you about the auditorium where the players performed before I describe the set. The New Vic is a theatre in the round, so the audience surrounds a circular stage. Tiered, purple upholstered seats rise all around the flat circular stage, which is approximately 10 metres in diameter. Three evenly spaced entrances lead up onto the stage. Two are used by actors and audience, and the third, slightly larger main entrance, is used only by actors. Thinking of a clock face, if the main entrance is at 12 o'clock, the other two entrances are at 4 and 8 o'clock. During the audio description, we'll name the 4 o'clock entrance the right entrance and the 8 o'clock entrance the left entrance. By the main entrance at 1 o'clock and by the left entrance at 9 o'clock, there is a section of acting space we call a notch. Behind the audience seating is a circular pathway known as the promenade. Five sets of aisle seats lead down from it to the stage. The aisles and promenade are used by both audience and actors. In the aisles, at the end of each row of seats, there are small handrails to assist ascent and descent. Perched above the promenade is a balcony, edged with a safety barrier and housing two rows of seats. Fixed high above the stage is a large lighting rig, complete with walkways known as the grid. Props may be stored or suspended here. When you take your seat in this auditorium, music from 2007 will be playing. In front of you will be a bright, minimalistic set with curved two-step platforms filling the notches. Two sets of two airport seats and an airport luggage trolley are positioned apart on the stage. All the aisles and entrances are used by characters during the play. Manchester and Sydney airports, an aeroplane flight, and where the adventure takes the friends in an Australian summer were requirements of the set for designer Olivia de Monceau. She chose a light, warm palette for the colour scheme. Cockatoo yellow, eucalyptus green and saltwater blue harmonise with the outback orange and the aqua teal of sea and sky. Taking inspiration from terrazzo-style airport floors with soothing wave motifs, the stage floor is covered in printed vinyl with an asymmetric layout of long sweeping curves, harmonising and balancing the curves of the platforms. Each platform is constructed of two semicircular rostra of step depth but differing sizes. The smaller set askew on top of the larger one. Light sand in colour, part rock-like, part podium stage, and even like the steps coming into Manchester Airport Departure Lounge, they provide extra acting space for locations. The riser fronting each rostra lights up in different colours according to the scene. For example, before the show starts, they are illuminated in light teal, the colour reflected on the adjacent flooring. During the BA flight, the upper risers are red and the lower ones blue. Lighting and sound are both important in creating the different locations on this set, as only a few items are used in the scenes and characters bring their own belongings. Subtle lighting projections on the floor help to define some locations too. Incidentally, the long curving lines on the floor provide a guide for the actors positioning seats on casters for ease of movement. Music is a key feature in the play, and sound designer Damien Caldwell has selected classic tunes from 2007 that the characters would like, and some that reveal and support elements of their individual stories. Background sounds are also used. For example, the noises of the aeroplane engines, the gentle lapping of the sea, animal and bird sounds in the outback, and the playing of the Aboriginal didgeridoo. The play opens in the departure lounge at Manchester International Airport. The patterning in the middle of the floor actually resembles the wide aisle you walk along there. Each set of two plastic seats, in the very British, red, white and blue, is linked by a small ledge big enough for drinks cups. The metal airport baggage trolley is also in British colours. Both sides of its back panel feature a poster naming the airport above a picture of a plane in flight over a cloud. A small Paddington Bear sits in a bottom corner. The trolley and seats are rhythmically whisked away by two British Airways flight attendants and replaced by two sets of two aeroplane passenger seats they place apart in the space as if on board a BA plane. These attendants use aircraft life jackets, seat belt, mask, and information card for demonstration purposes. During the flight, they reposition the seats, with the passenger sitting in them, to enhance audience views. They also manoeuvre a narrow airline galley trolley to bring refreshments to the travellers. The ladies have the usual items needed for a long-haul flight, like books and magazines to read, and thin blankets for sleeping. The opening and closing of overhead lockers are mimed by the actors. 37 hours later, the four land at Sydney Airport, to be met by the Australian colours of yellow, green and white, and a luggage trolley bearing a poster with a kangaroo mascot wearing green punching gloves. The next location is on the Gold Coast in Queensland at Surfers Paradise, where the ladies meet Shane and Charlie one morning. Shane has a large wooden surfboard that he waxes. Charlie plays a set of two bongo drums. One night, 2 weeks later, miles away on the edge of an outback town, Danny prepares to make tea in a billy can, suspended on a rod, leaning across three canes lashed together over a simple fire in a can. He meets Joe, who appears with his rucksack. In a brief scene a little later, the two men just stand together in an aisle after a motorbike ride, spotlit as they view their next location, Uluru. in Australia's Red Centre. The ladies too are then in the outback at a campsite in the desert near to Uluru. They have set up camp with three folding camping chairs, a light brown swag bed, and a simple rectangular barbecue on wheels. Sausages are cooked in a frying pan and served onto paper plates. Tiny white lights, clustered all around the balcony, shine out as stars in the night sky. Tea lights in jam jars provide some light in the evening at the campsite. Back in Sydney, the four get caught up in a Mardi Gras festival. A metal crowd barrier, draped with rainbow-coloured bunting, stands across the right entrance, and rainbow flags are lodged each side of all three entrances. A two-step, rainbow-striped, square podium is placed centre stage at one point. All I'll say for now is that the event is joyful, colourful and extravagant. And at the end of the scene, coloured beach balls suddenly appear. Finally, it's back to Sydney Airport and departure. The director says in the show programme, "We've tried our best to be really creative in the way we travel down under. Music, lighting, a set that's really versatile, and having our very own resident Aussie in the cast helps too." More about him and the other actors now from Mim Bernard as she tells you about the characters and costumes.
If you came to Ladies' Day last year, you will doubtless remember the four friends as vibrant but decidedly different characters. Happily, they are all played by the same actors. Kate Wood is Pearl, Annie Kirkman is Shelley, Tanya Loretta Dee is Jan, and Joe Patmore is Linda. Gareth Cassidy also returns, taking on multiple roles as before, and the cast are joined by Australian actor Richard Lund. First, a brief reminder of who the four friends are. Now in her late 50s and retired, auburn-haired Pearl is the organiser and mother figure of the group. Married for a long time to Mick, we learnt in Ladies' Day that she had been in a secret relationship. What might we discover this time? Tall, slim, sassy Shelley is in her late 20s. Her long, straight, light brown hair is streaked with blonde highlights. She too has left the fish factory, but is still searching for glitz and glamour. Jan is in her 40s and has shoulder-length dark brown hair. An eternal warrior who has built her life around her daughter Claire, she has long carried a torch for Jo, the women's kindly supervisor at the factory. Although admitting at the end of Ladies' Day that they have feelings for one another, Joe was all set to go off on his own adventure to Australia. By the time this play opens, he has been there for 11 months. Linda is a small, shy and slightly awkward young woman in her late 20s, with short brown hair and black-rimmed glasses. In Ladies' Day, we saw her grow in confidence and finally have the courage to ask her domineering mother to move out. As this play opens, the four friends are in the departure lounge at Manchester Airport, about to fly out to Sydney. They all wear white short-sleeved t-shirts. Girls on Tour is emblazoned across the front in bright pink capital letters. On the back, in football shirt style, it says Australia 07, with each of their names at the top. Aside from these matching t-shirts, the colours of their various outfits reflect how they were dressed in Ladies' Day. So, Pearl favours greens, Shelley pinks, Jan blues and Linda yellows. Even their suitcases are the self-same colours. At the airport and in Sydney, Pearl wears an apple green mid-calf length skirt with a large floral pattern in white. A knee-length emerald green cardigan hides her t-shirt, and round her neck is a long beige scarf. Sunglasses are perched on top of her head. She has a brown bum bag at her waist and beige buckled sandals on her feet. She wears a pair of silver and green parrot earrings, and on her right wrist is a gold watch. At the beach, she is in lime green and black leggings with a matching long sleeve top. Over this is a black t-shirt with a fringed hem. On the front, above an image of a great white shark, it says, "I swam with sharks." She carries a multicoloured striped beach bag, wears green and black flip-flops, a green hairband, and neon green sun visor. In the outback, back in her skirt and t-shirt, she sports orange trainers. Shelley's outfits are, of course, all coordinated. At Manchester Airport, she is dressed in a hooded, deep pink, velour zip-up top and matching straight leg joggers. Across her shoulders and on the back of her joggers, it says "Juicy" in sparkly silver cursive script. Strappy, high-heeled pink sandals, a diamante choker and dangly earrings, sunglasses, a small silver handbag on a gold chain, and an early iPhone, as well as accompanying designer carrier bags, certainly announced Shelley's arrival. Atop her head is a bright pink satin eye mask with her name embroidered on it. At the beach, she wears a leopard print swimsuit, over which is a very short pink skirt with an asymmetrical frilled hem. Repeated along the length of its elasticated waistband, it says Calvin Klein. A trio of diamante chains loop around her waist and hang at her left hip. A wide leopard print bangle is on her right wrist, and she carries a pink shoulder bag. In the outback and in Sydney, she is marginally more restrained, wearing faded denim jeans with her Girls on Tour t-shirt. They have large silver stars on the bottom of each leg and are fastened with a gold chain belt. Leopard print accessories, including trainers, a chiffon scarf and a straw sun hat, complete her designer look. Meanwhile, practical Jan travels in three-quarter length bright blue capri pants, a dusky blue cotton sun hat over her plaited hair, and comfy navy blue Birkenstock-style sandals. She has a grey money belt at her waist, wears flight socks, and carries a pale blue and black holdall, as well as a large plastic bag from Boots. At the beach, she dons a long hooded toweling poncho with a striking scene of blue and white surf and carries a blue fan. She also has a very large emerald green oblong cool bag. Towards the end of their time in the outback and in Sydney, she wears a calf-length halter neck broderie anglais sundress in royal blue with a pale blue short-sleeved bolero cardigan. She keeps her hair back with a navy and white pattern scarf and wears white plimsolls. Like Jan, Linda dresses sensibly when travelling. Beneath her Girls on Tour t-shirt is a short-sleeved pale yellow top with a collar. Patterned green and yellow leggings are worn under a short blue denim skirt with a yellow leather belt. She has a buttercup yellow neck pillow and carries a yellow leather satchel, as well as a black and lemon yellow backpack. In a pink plastic carrier bag from Superdrug, she has disposable cameras. On her feet are a pair of suede UGG boots. Her hair is caught back with a couple of yellow snap hair clips, and she wears a multicoloured necklace. On the beach, she too is covered in a toweling poncho. Hers has wide stripes in blue and yellow, overlaid with silhouettes of palm fronds and feathers, and with two yellow deep patch pockets. She carries a yellow and white striped beach bag and wears lemon yellow sliders on her feet, which look like cartoon sharks. In the outback, she swaps her leggings and skirt for denim shorts and her UGG boots for beige lace-up soft leather shoes with pale yellow ankle socks. Round her neck is a yellow scarf fastened with a toggle. In Sydney, she adds a buttercup yellow waistcoat over her t-shirt and shorts. At the very end, black and yellow plaid cage leggings replace her shorts, and she pairs these with a black lamé t-shirt, a yellow leather choker, and black Doc Martin boots. During this play, the four friends once again interact with several male characters of different ages and with differing accents. As before, Gareth Cassidy plays Joe. Joe has been travelling around and carries a substantial brown camouflage rucksack and khaki foam sleeping mat. He is dressed in knee-length grey cargo shorts, a burnt orange t-shirt, leather lace-up boots and brown hiking socks. On his head is a khaki bush hat. A brown and cream patterned scarf is tied round his neck. At his waist is a jumbo-sized brown bum bag, and on his right wrist he wears a large watch. Gareth also plays Charlie, a barefoot, poshly spoken, aging English hippie who we encounter on the beach carrying bongos. Charlie's long grey hair is tied back in a single plait. Several loose locks at the front are interwoven with beads, and a scarf is tied round his head. He wears a pair of orange, yellow and blue tie-dyed harem trousers and a hooded, striped, multicoloured tunic top with long sleeves and a big front pocket in which he keeps his tobacco tin. A small leather and blue beaded crossbody bag completes his look. Two British Airways flight attendants, named Bill and Ben, are played by Gareth and by Richard Lunt, respectively. They are both smartly dressed in matching navy suits, with a BA logo and their ID badges on the left breast pocket. Short-sleeved white shirts, navy red and white striped ties fastened with tie pins, and black shoes. Richard also plays Shane, a young surfer. He appears carrying his surfboard, is bare-chested, tattooed, and wearing a single cowrie shell on a bead necklace. His knee-length swim shorts have a tropical sunset scene on them, in yellow, orange, and red tones, overlaid with the black silhouettes of sun umbrellas and palm trees. As Danny, the Australian traveller who strikes up a friendship with Joe, he is dressed in long grey cargo pants, a golden green souvenir t-shirt from the Sydney 2000 Olympics, and a battered brown leather waistcoat. He wears comfortable brown lace-up Rambler shoes and socks and carries a well-used khaki rucksack. Beneath his navy and red cap is a bandana headband, and on his right wrist is a leather bracelet. Last but by no means least, the entire cast dress up to celebrate Sydney's Mardi Gras festival. Think rainbow flags, flamboyant costumes, and copious amounts of glitter and sequins. Gareth is Koala Bear, spelt B-A-R-E, a Priscilla Queen of the Desert style drag queen. Koala is resplendent in a curly, shoulder-length lilac and pink wig, and a puff-sleeved, low-cut, full-length, five-tiered lilac and pale blue tulle net dress covered in sparkly sequins. The skirt is split right up the front to reveal gold lamé hot pants, onto which is strategically positioned the head of a cute koala bear toy. Lilac hold-up stockings topped with feather boas, silver stilettos, also adorned with cute koalas, a diamante bracelet, a black leather choker and fingerless leather gloves, as well as face makeup to look like a koala, complete the costume. Koala carries a pink plastic fundraising bucket which says Think Pink on it, above a breast cancer ribbon logo. Richard is also gloriously dressed and made up as Bondi Bitch, another Priscilla-esque drag queen. Bondi's costume is designed to look like a sparkly waffle ice cream cone. Its tight-fitting, low-waisted, biscuit-coloured skirt is wide at the hips and tapers towards the floor. Numerous rainbow-coloured plastic toy windmills spill out at the waist, as well as decorating a waffle bikini top, which accommodates two small inflatable beach balls. Bondi wears windmill earrings, elbow-length gold lame gloves and totters about on red and yellow platform heels worn over rainbow socks. This costume is topped off with a statement blue headdress, its foam curves and curls resembling the surf on Bondi Beach. The four friends get a Mardi Gras makeover too. Pearl puts on a green net tutu skirt over her ordinary skirt, green beads and a day-glow green and pink wig. Jan wears a multicoloured tutu skirt, a long windmill necklace, a rainbow wig and bow, slatted rainbow glasses, and blue and red Isis-style wings which sparkle and shimmer as she wafts them around. Shelley too has shimmering Isis wings which light up, a curly pink wig, pink tassel earrings, and a pink fishnet-style bra top with thigh-length fringes dangling from it. Finally, Linda wears what can only be described as a voluminous, circular parachute skirt, its rainbow segments reaching to the floor. She also sports rainbow angel wings, slatted rainbow glasses, and a unicorn headband with pink ears. That completes our introduction to the cast, the characters, and the costumes. To conclude, here are details of the creative team. Ladies Down Under is a New Vic production. It was written by Amanda Whittington and is directed by Marieke Audsley. Olivia Dumonceau is the designer, Mark Dimmock, the lighting designer, Damien Coldwell, the sound designer, and Sundeep Saini, movement director. The set and props have been made by the New Vic Workshop, the costumes by the costume department, and the lighting and sound is operated by the New Vic technical team. We hope you enjoy the show.